Okay, so the portion today is Vayakel. It's also Shabbat Shekalim, and we talked about Shekalim last time, the half shekel temple tax, and we'll get into more of it in the second part of today's message. But Vayakel is a very interesting portion and something with great meaning to us today. It's a continuation of the instructions of building the Mishkan, of the building of the tabernacle. And it begins with Moses assembling the children of Israel, Vayikel, that's what, and he assembled, right? Kahal, Kehilah, that's an assembly. Kol Edat Yisrael, or call Adat Yisrael, the entire congregation of Israel. That's us, Adat, Haderach, congregation of the way. So the entire congregation is assembled. And then, what's the first thing Moses says? Don't build the Mishkan on Shabbat. And this is an odd way to begin construction on anything. Yeah. All right. So here we are. We're building the Mishkan, the place for God to dwell amongst Israel. The most important structure, other than a permanent one, that Israel will ever build. And the first instruction is don't do it on Shabbat. That's how important Shabbat is. Okay, so in today's day and age, there's quite a bit of discussion about how to keep Shabbat. But this instruction here in the Torah gives us a lot of insight into that. And the sages looked at this and they broke it down as much as they could, and they came up with 39 separate things that we actually do to build the Mishkan. The 39 melachot. And so if God says don't do this on Shabbat, it must mean that the you don't do these things. And this is how Israel interprets it. Okay? In our day and age, you see way too often people simply ignoring Israel and following after their own eyes and their own heart. Say, well, I think it means this. And I'm here to tell you, I am not kidding. What you think it means is not relevant as far as following the Torah is concerned. I don't care. It doesn't matter. In the book of Judges, in the book of Joshua, you see the same quotation every time Israel is going off on the wrong path. It says, and every man followed after his own heart. Right? It's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do this together. Torah is given to us, the children of Israel, together to follow, which means interpret. We can't follow it together unless we interpret it together. So here's Shabbat. So you don't tear, you don't tie, you don't cut. All the 39 melachot. Now one of the melachot, the pieces of work that you're not allowed to do, creates a machloket. I don't want to look at that right now. Right? A machloket is a scriptural dilemma, which isn't a scriptural dilemma, but it looks like a scriptural dilemma. But it's not really a scriptural dilemma. But we look at it as a scriptural dilemma so we can understand the scriptural dilemma so that it won't be a scriptural dilemma anymore. That's why I say machloket, so that you understand. I don't have to repeat that. So one of the 39 melachot is that you don't do the shechita. In my best Ashkenazi Hebrew, the shechita, if you're Sephardi, that's for Monica. Okay, you don't do the shechita, right? What's the shechita? It's the killing of the animal, slaughtering of the animal. You don't do that on Shabbat. The machloket is, there's a special offering for Shabbat, and there's the Tamid offering, which you do every day. So the Kohens are instructed specifically to make the sacrifice on Shabbat. And the Mechilta, the Rav Ishmael, brings this up. It says, hey, it says do the sacrifice, but don't do the sacrifice. But do the sacrifice. What do you do with that? Now, we love the machloket. Any machloket that we find in Scripture, we don't run from it. We don't put on the blinders and not look at it, because it's in these seeming scriptural dilemmas that we actually glean the most meaning in Scripture. Because both instructions are in the Bible. They are correct. What's wrong, what creates the dilemma, is my understanding of them. It's not the Torah that's wrong. It's how I look at it. It's how I understand the Torah that's wrong, if there's a dilemma. So the correct answer is such that there is no dilemma. I've adjusted my understanding. So I get it now. And sure enough, the sages look at this and say exactly that. So if we're instructed to do it and we're instructed not to do it, there must be something in here that we're not getting. And they said, this is it. If you're doing it in the Mishkan, it's for God. Guess what? That is a different category of work. That's not malacha. That's not avodat chol. That's not ordinary work. That's avodat kodesh. That's holy work. And you look at the priests. Not only do they do the shechita, they collect the blood, they do the zrika, they do the sprinkling, they do a lot of things that are work that we shouldn't be doing, but it's inside the Mishkan, it's inside the temple. It's a different category. So there is a different category of work. There are two. Avodat Kodesh, holy work, and Avodat Chol, ordinary work. And sure enough, as you look through Torah, you will see the words ordinary work all the time, and that's where the Chazal gets this. So there's holy work and there's ordinary work. So, all of those things that would seemingly create a machloket, the dilemma, because you should be doing them on Shabbat, are now holy work. And those things that are ordinary, you don't do on Shabbat, even if it's the same action. So the priest doing the shechita, the priest doing the ritual slaughtering, right, the butchery, inside the Mishkan, that's fine. But I can't do it outside the Mishkan. Butcher shop has to be closed. Okay? And that's the answer. So what other kind? So now we've opened up a whole question in our minds. What other things are Havodat Kodesh? What other things are holy work that you should be able to do on Shabbat? That in fact Torah instructs us to do on Shabbat. That's not Avodat Chol. It's not regular work. Topping the list. Charity, right? Acts of kindness, gmilut chasidim. Right, neighbor's ox falls in the ditch. Help the ox out of the ditch. Right? Feed the poor. Can you give charity on Shabbat? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're encouraged to give charity on Shabbat and every other day. Why can you... Now, normally, money changing hands means somebody's working. Right? Somebody's doing labor. Right? Because that's what money is. Money is an exchange for labor. That's all that it is. Econ 101. If you've taken it. And if you haven't taken it, it's still... Okay. So if I give money to Paul to pay for a book, that's work. But if I give money to Paul for charity, that's not work. That's avodat kodesh. That's holy work. You can do that. What else? Healing. If I have the ability to heal somebody of a serious injury, and it's Shabbat, do it. Do it. Does this mean all healing? Not necessarily. I've got a headache, and I forgot to buy aspirin. Does this mean it's okay to go buy aspirin and make somebody else work on Shabbat? Wait a couple hours. Shabbat will be over. Get the aspirin then. But Howard, you have patients whose headaches are that bad?
Depends how bad the headache is.
Okay. And that is actually, you know, Dr. Howard said it depends on how bad the headache is, and that's actually a true answer. If the doctor says you need to go, go. But for me, if I get a headache, I can wait. I'll have a little bit of a miserable afternoon, and guess what? I won't forget the aspirin again. Okay? If you need to get stitches, go get stitches. You fall down and skin your knee. No. Don't call the doctor. All right? Let Howard stay in services. Okay? If someone's blind, then you have the opportunity to heal their blindness. Heal their blindness. Okay? Could they wait until after Shabbat? Yes, they could. But every moment that they wait, that's not compassion. Right? That every moment they remain blind or with a broken leg or whatever is an affront when you could heal them. So pikuach nefesh. So if you can heal them of something serious, of saving a life or a limb or blindness or straighten someone's back, these kinds of things, absolutely is avodat kodesh, and you can do. And the sages are very, very explicit about this. The other thing, all of the other stuff, no. You have the opportunity to not do the other things for a day, even to the point of not working on building the Mishkan. Now think about it. If you stop the work for building the Mishkan, how much more so, kol v'chomer, should we stop in doing everyday work that we do that has nothing to do with God or the Mishkan? Right? The most important work that we ever did as a people to build the Mishkan. And you stop it on Shabbat. So Shabbat is not about restriction. Shabbat is about freedom. You're free to just not think about these things. Right? What's going on at work? Today, who cares? Today, who cares? Even you, Beth. You can let it go. Okay? And that's what Shabbat's all about. You think there weren't problems in building the Mishkan? You know, it's where measure twice, cut once came from. Of course there were problems. There's always problems when you have you're building anything. Sometimes you can't even get it started. But on Shabbat, you let it go. You're free. You're free. And man is Lord of the Shabbat. Right? That doesn't mean man individually gets to interpret what Shabbat is. It means that Shabbat was made for man. It's for our freedom. It is Zman Charoteinu. It is the time of our freedom. So take advantage. right? Let it go. Try not to talk about business stuff. Try not to talk about work. Not only your job, but stuff you're doing at home. Whatever. Try not to do it. Let it go. For a day, don't talk about it. For a day. Okay? Shabbat shalom. So Yeshua here in Matthew 17 talks about himself paying the half shekel tax. And he starts off by asking, he's talking to Shimon Kefa. Starts off by asking, you know, Shimon, the tax collectors, do they collect the taxes from everybody else or from their sons? And Shimon Kefa says, they collect from everybody else. Now, do their sons owe the tax? You bet they do. Right? Torah says a half shekel, everybody, rich, poor, lofty, low, everybody. You pay the half shekel tax. So what's Yeshua pointing out here? He's pointing out the corruption within the system. It's in the system? Yeah. System's corrupt. Okay? So then he makes a mashal, a metaphor. Go figure. Now, Yeshua does this a lot. So he says, he's pointing out that the folks that are in charge of collecting the tax can exempt their sons. So the Holy One, blessed be He, can exempt the believers in the Messiah. Right? Now we know that this is a mashal. This is a parable. Why? Because he turns around and pays the tax. Right? He's pointing out the corruption in the system, and he says, in the same way, do we really have to pay? And the answer is, not. The corruption in the system means we don't really have to pay. But we really do have to pay. So go catch a fish, and there's a shekel. And there's a miracle involved with it, right? So do we have to pay the half shekel tax? Yes. Is the system corrupt? Yes. Is it corrupt today? You bet. This is one of the biggest problems. Now, you guys are thinking United States. Think for a moment about Israel. In Israel, one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest holdbacks for the Messianic community in Israel is that the rabbinate is hugely corrupt. The rabbis are so corrupt there that you mention the word rabbi and Messianic's eyes cross, because they are anti-Messianic right and left. They make all kinds of rules to make themselves important, not only to mess up the Messianics, but to stay in control of the people. Okay? Now, Beth, I'm going to use you as an example. Okay? Say Beth wanted to get married to a nice Jewish boy in Israel. She has to get permission of the rabbis there. And she ain't going to get it. This was a problem when I was a kid. In high school. And we're talking, yeah, we're going to go into the army, we're going to find somebody, and we're all going to get married and settle down. And so the question came up, what if they're not Jewish? And all of the girls said, well, if we go to Cyprus, we'll find a way to get married. But there was a recognition that the system of the rabbis in Israel is corrupt. It is corrupt. Okay? They've got the keys to the mikveh. You want to take a mikveh? You got to go through the rabbis. You want to break milah? You want to get married? You want to be buried in a Jewish cemetery? You got to go through the rabbis. And you pay bakshish, or you get their permission, or you don't get their permission. And they say, no, guess what? You're out of luck. It's the end of that. Hugely corrupt system. Just in the system. Throw on top of that, they're not putting up with messianics. And horrible Lashon Hara. Horrible Lashon Hara comes from the rabbis over there. And in addition to that, even some physical. Even physical. It's terrible. So the system is corrupt. Does this mean we ignore Torah? Because the system is corrupt? And that is the ultimate lesson here, is that you follow Torah anyway. Now, I want everybody to understand something about corruption in political systems. Okay. It is. It always was and ever shall be. We're not going to get around that. And still you do what God says anyway. You do what God says anyway. Right? First instance of political corruption from the founding of Israel as a nation. It's a golden calf. We just got done with this. This is why this section is in the Torah where it is. Because God knew. Leadership's corrupt. Tell me something I don't know. Therefore, you ignore leadership. No. Therefore, you ignore Torah. No. No. You do what you can to fix it. Now, the Rosh HaMemshalah, Bibi Netanyahu, is being indicted. Again. Okay. Which is not convicted. Okay. Hopefully he'll get through this as well. Why is he being indicted? Because the system is corrupt. Does this surprise it or anybody? No. And what I'm here to tell you is don't even let it cause you anguish. I mean, you do what you can to fix the system. If you're in a position to help fix, please do. But should this cause you anguish? The answer is no. No. It's always was and always shall be. It's just what is. Right? Remember that all this is mere breath. It's okay. It's mere breath. Now, mere breath is commonly translated vanity. In the book of Kohelet, the book of Ecclesiastes begins, mere breath. All of this is mere breath. You know what? It's fleeting. It comes and goes. And when you can do something, you do something. The poor people of Venezuela are caught in the middle of this. And I pray for them daily. And I think we all should. And we see light at the end of the tunnel. We see cracks in the corruption of the government. And hopefully, things will get better for the Venezuelans very shortly. But you know what? This corruption will be replaced by corruption. May it be God's will that the next corruption is less. That's it. You just want, you know, the system we have in America, is it corrupt? Yes. But you know what? It's less corrupt than most everywhere else in the world. And this is a good thing, and we're blessed. Even with all the corruption. you still do what's right in the eyes of God, always. God says pay a half shekel tax, pay the half shekel tax. Okay. And again, I reiterate, we do this symbolically through the Temple Institute every year. Every one of you has paid symbolically the half shekel tax for the rebuilding of the temple. Okay? Shabbat Shalom.